Blog Talk Radio.
This is the voice of Mocha 868, and you're listening to The Living Room, brought to you by El Nostro Reino Radio. Welcome to our kingdom.
Mocha, hello, how are you?
Hey Jay, how are you today?
I'm doing well. And we got a great day. Why don't you tell us about the show?
Well, today's episode is titled The X Factor, and it's all about poems concerning past relationships and past love. You know, a lot of us define us as people, and love is one of the most written about topics in poems and novels and just literature in general. So I thought we could tackle that aspect of it today. And so that's what all the poems today are going to be about, past love, essentially.
Yeah, and that is something that each of us have been involved with. Each of us have grown in some way, and it's affected how we act in today, and it's how we act towards other people. And I know that what I'm bringing is something that's kind of interesting, but I think everybody is going to be able to relate to this particular topic. And I know that there's a lot of people who have written to this, and we got that, and we have so much more. We got some, a little bit of silliness, a little bit of fun, and a little bit of everything to lighten it up, because this is going to be a pretty heavy topic, I have a feeling.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what the living room is here for. It's here for these deep discussions, you know?
I agree. We have all the fun on Sundays. True, true. And hopefully we can lighten it up. I want to, first of all, let me talk about a few things that have happened. We had a major tornado rip through the United States on Friday. It went 365 kilometers, stayed on the ground for over 4 hours, and our group was not immune to it. We had one person who was affected by it, and he is okay, but he was out of power for the longest time, and his town lost at least 15 people to the tornado, with thousands of houses destroyed. And I have put up a topic to a USA Today link in our topic board. If you want to see where you can help with helping out the tornado victims, we are all for that. If you can help out them, go ahead and check that link out, and it'll give you many options to go by. Also, this holiday season, we also have a topic up for a toy drive. We're helping one of the best aquatic stores in the world, Predatory Fins, raise money to go to toys to children this holiday season who would not be able to afford their toys otherwise. And we have a topic up for that. We're asking to help Rodrigo and do whatever you can to help out with that. You don't have to. It's just something that we thought would be nice. The donations, they're going to take them up to the 20th. So we have 4 more days to gather that. If you want to help out with that, go to www.predatoryfins.com. That's www.predatoryfins.com, and check out their toy drive. They've been doing this for years, and I think it's pretty awesome. Well, it looks like we have a caller here. It can be one of two people. And let's roll the dice. And is this Rack?
It's Rack.
Hey. All right, because we have another one that's going to call in from a private
hey,
number.
Mo.
Hello, Rack.
What's going on?
Glad to see you. Not much. We had some tornadoes hit north of me today. I meant yesterday, which is crazy in December. That's the furthest north any tornadoes have hit ever in history during the month of December.
Wow.
Freaking crazy weather. And,
signs of the time, man.
It really is. So, Mocha, what do we got planned up to start with today?
I think we should start on a really good note. Let's start with Master Titus Llewellyn today. Usually we get to him towards the end of the show. I have to start a show with him.
I think that would be a great idea. So here's a little something from Mr. Titus himself. Let's play it.
Love at the Death, the Orpheus Eurydice tale. Little did I know my life would be in your hands. It would be dependent on how having met. Finding love had virtually saved my life. Little did I know the default by which luck would bring me from that very dark place. She'd shed some light that day, which was not my last. So brief a meeting, I only wish it would last. Touching moments, short of touching hands. So precious fate, it chose the perfect place. Gazed into your brown eyes, our souls met. Along the plain, which once again thought luck, it would have appeared more a beautiful life. How never before could I see this past life. Our parting, the future forgot it would be our last. A second time around, hell no, just my luck. God would reprieve me by using his hands. Her face would find the God I never met, that heaven would I find to give a place. Amid my frustration, loss on our part, a place we have in common, the distance also, life. It's tragic to think our needs indeed have met. A previous life I suspect belched out the last. Give again such precious time, grasp at hands as Eurydice gaze back. Orpheus's hard luck, that never did I see the distance before luck would have it for a final time. Commonplace it seems, I'm constant and dutiful. These hands are never letting go with this last grasp at life. It hangs on a thread, I'll hang on till the last. Thence woe be gone again, she'll call it kismet. But time was needed, that had we never met, distance, faith, my lowly status, just my luck. Time, it meant patience, this my first and last obsession, it's relentless having found a place, never giving up, yet I nearly did with my life, faltering, God would carry me with his hands. Had not we met that day, would have been my last. As luck would have it, my heart still has a place, such as this precious life of ours still in our hands.
I think that was absolutely beautiful. The whole thing about it is it not the story where one was a mortal and one was a god?
I don't know if she was immortal, but if the Orpheus in the underworld, he traveled to hell to be with her, I think. That's the story I remember about Orpheus. But there could be more than one Orpheus, too.
Do you remember that tale or not, Mocha?
I don't, but I just Googled it. Eurydice. Was a character in Greek mythology, and the Olenian wife of Orpheus, who tried to bring her back from the dead with his enchanting music. That's the summary of the story. I don't know the myth. I know the name Orpheus though. It's familiar to me, but I just didn't remember.
There's musical pieces named that.
Ah, that explains a lot. And it ties in very well with the fairy tale, too. But this was breathtaking. It was... He does this so many times, and I think this is a wonderful note to start show on, because we have so much to say. Brimming with love. And I know we said the topic today was past relationships, but if your relationship is anything like this that he describes, then it's never going to be in the past, per se, you know? But you continually define yourself by, regardless of all the trials and tribulations that you go through, it just makes the bonding that much stronger. I think this is a good thing to start the show with, because this is an example of a very sort of ideal love. Like, this is what everybody wants at the end of the day. This powerful type of love that survives through the ages. Like, look at this picture at the bottom of the two of them. It's so cute. I'm dying. Let me gather my thoughts while... Can you comment on it?
Yeah, we could probably talk about this one for hours. The story, as I remember it, like you mentioned when you Googled it, he tried to bring her back from the dead. So he went to hell, literally went to hell to try and bring her back from the dead. So, you know, that brings in all kinds of thoughts of, you know, like you mentioned about love, you know, and the ex. Not so much an ex, but, you know, if someone's dead, that's kind of in love from the past. So, you know, he does a brilliant twist to the prompt, mm-hmm. and that idea fits so well, like you mentioned, also with the idea of love, you know. But at the same time, it's like, you know, again, it's not an ex; it's still the same person because they passed. So, the idea of loving someone, you know, even beyond death, is a classic theme, I think, for what we try and tell the people that we care about. You know, death won't stop me from still loving you. You know, there's people that carry a torch after their wife dies, you know, long after, that'll never, you know, date anyone else because, you know, she was the one. So, you know, this evokes all those thoughts and ideas of that. And he takes it one step further that I think that the miss doesn't touch on, you know, how she saved his life. You know, it's like when you find that person,
yeah,
that's your other half, you feel complete. You feel, you know, just, I can't talk enough about, you know, sometimes when you're with that person, that how it's like, you know, you sit there and you're like, you know, but I don't understand why. But, you know, there is obviously, well, I shouldn't say obviously, there isn't always an answer as to why. It's just one of the, how did I get so lucky? That's one of the things that, like, you know, goes through your head sometimes. It's like, you know, and you know, he captured all of that in beautiful way. You know, he's talking about how she saved his life. You know, and she mentions his status, you know, so she was probably, and again, I'm not remembering the specifics, but, you know, one of the upper echelons. He was like a merchant, you know, someone very, very much below his station. So, you know, she, for all intents and purposes, would probably normally not even notice him, but for whatever reason, she did. So, you know, and I'm saying merchant, I meant to say musician, I'm sorry. But, yeah, because that was the thing, you know, he wrote songs for her. This is beautiful, Titus. And I probably butchered the myth a little bit, but, you know, I get what you were saying, and I love, you know, the sentiments that you're bringing out and how love is and how it goes beyond death and how, you know, it makes you feel when you're alive. You know, that's another duality in what you wrote too. You know, the whole life and death kind of a thing. You know, some of us walk through life as if we're dead, and then we find that person, and they literally bring us to life. You know, you live through their eyes in a lot of ways. It's a beautiful thought, a beautiful poem, Titus.
It is quite, I just feel a little struck by it. I feel like I wanted to cry a little bit. That's how nice,
yeah,
it was. But I refuse to cry on air. It's just like bubbling in my chest. My heart is crying.
No, cry on your cheeks.
I mean, right? My from the first line, it really, you have an idea where it's going. Little did I know my life would be in your hands. There's so much in that one line. you know, it would be dependent on how having met finding love had virtually saved my life. Little did I know the default by which luck would bring me from that very dark place. She shed some light that day was not my last. I mean, it's the ideal. It's literally when today say couple goals, this is what we mean. We mean this is the thing that we want to achieve for the rest of our lives. And to lose it to essentially the hands of fate is, it would be a horrible experience. It would be an extreme loss. You know,
when he's not accepting us.
Yeah, precisely. It reminds me a little bit of Dante's Inferno, which actually may have stolen something from the myth of Orpheus and Eurydice, now that I think about it. But Dante's Inferno was similar. His wife was murdered, and he went through the 7 levels of hell just to go get her back. And I don't think it's been any better expressed than this. I mean, Titus just delivers every time with literary skill and perfect clarity of what he's talking about. Like, there's no way, especially in this poem, that you can mistake what point he's trying to make, metaphorically or otherwise. Jay?
Yes, I think that ultimately that term, loving beyond the grave, I think is just, it happens, and there are people that, you know, can't let go even past the death. And I think that ultimately, when we take a look at something like that, it really affects us and really, really kind of almost messes with our brain a little bit. I really think that he portrayed the legend amazingly. And I love that whole concept bringing that tale into it, because that tale does fit this this thing so well. I'm taken aback what 9 said on the board about this. This is Orpheus played for the gods, and they let him take his wife out of the underworld. The thing is, he was not supposed to look back at her, but he couldn't resist. So he looks back to see her, and the gods don't let her out. So he was told not to do something, and
the gods
he did
are
it anyway.
Evil.
Yes, they are, and they ended up that way. But what I want to say is hello to 9, hello to Tans, and saying how much of an international flavor is this show. We got the hosts from the States and from Trinidad and Tobago, and then we've got listeners from New Zealand at 6:20 in the morning, and also from Croatia. Yes, Tans. And also from Croatia, and also that strange country named New Jersey. So we're all over the place. Oh, man. So I'm kind of excited about
and
this.
Rooster,
yep, we
from
got
Ireland.
Ireland represent. Rooster. I think Tans is staying top of the morning to Rooster. Which is awesome. So, what do we have up next? I think what we're going to do is we're going to put 9 of Hearts on the board and then have Mocha go ahead and read that one. Yes, you are.
I already asked him because I really like it. This poem is called Addicted by 9 of Hearts. Yay, Nine of Hearts. Six pom-poms. Addicted. I wake up, you're gone. I roll in my bed, just in your shirt to the side where you slept. Languid and high on your lingering scent, I bite down on the lip you'd have bitten yourself. Your names interlock with my whimpers and moans. I picture your fingers instead of my own. I savor the remnants of you in cloth, in ritual rapture of worship unknown. I call you and tell you it's lonely for me, and take me, I'm shaking and down on my knees. And when will I see you? Tomorrow? This week? Come on, one more minute. Don't hang up, please. 1 week, 2 weeks, and I gather myself. I burn your damn shirt, delete messages. You slip, drop for drop, like the lead from my cells. A smile appears in my grappling midst. Then you loom, like the sun blacking out over me. Your eyes say, you're mine, baby doll. You're not free. And mine say, just break me all down back again and make me however you think I should be. End poem.
First of all, I want to say what a brilliant read. That was amazing, Mocha. And what a brilliant poem, Nine of Hearts. Reason that I'm going to say I love this poem because of the fact that it reminds me of situations I've been at before where you really, really fall for someone and then their scent lingers on certain items, whether it be a bed sheet, a bed, a piece of clothing, something to that effect. And it's like you want to inhale their essence, inhale who they are, and eventually time goes by and you're like, you know, it hurts more and more to lose them, and it hurts more and more, and you just want to take whatever that lingering scent is, spray it with some Febreze or throw it in the wash as many times as you want to get that stuff off of it. Because it eventually is like a curse to you, and it's like something that hangs on. I think I'm going to play mine after this, but ultimately sometimes it just grabs a hold of you and affects you in a way that it just can't let you go, and it doesn't want to let you go. And as you drag it along with you in life, it affects pretty much everything that you do. It affects your future relationships, which I will mention Rooster's comment. He made an awesome comment in my poem, and I'm going to definitely mention that. But it is something that hangs on, doesn't let us go, and it affects not only us, it affects everybody we meet in the future. So I think that this is a brilliant poem in itself. Raconteur, what do you think?
Yeah, my favorite phrase, unfortunately, relatable. It seems a little bit along the lines of what Titus wrote. It echoes a lot of what, you know, I wrote, and I'm sure it does with what you wrote. So, it's one of those things sometimes when couples, I won't say lose themselves in each other, but, you know, when someone, you know, completes you or you feel like they do, you become so wrapped up in it that the bits of yourself that you put into it are things that you know you're never going to get back, and you don't want them back. And as much as the reality of the loss of them, of the absence, sinks in, you want to kind of carve those pieces out of yourself, and you can't get away from them no matter what you do. They always remain with you. And like you say, you know, they affect your other relationships. It doesn't have to necessarily be a negative thing, but, you know, it's a very annoying thing because, you know, you don't want to, you know, have things remind you of them in that way. And, you know, the reverse, I think, is true, especially for me. It's like when you write something and you give it to someone, it's like, you know, the emotions repeat. You know, the same emotions you feel for someone, you know, you definitely will feel for someone else. It's the way that you express it. And when you give that to someone, you know, you're giving them those words, and then you can't do the same thing and give them to someone else. It's like, I said this already, and, you know, I liked how I said it the first time, and I'm annoyed that I gave it to a person that didn't deserve it because the relationship didn't work. It almost makes it feel like it was a lie, but, you know, you're speaking more towards the emotion than the person in that situation because, you know, the person is gone, so... You know, but again, sometimes there's no separating the person from the emotion, and that last verse that he wrote, that the closing of how, you know, she still looms over him. You know, that there's that shadow that, you know, however tall the person is, they always cast that shadow that you can't get rid of, you can't get away from. And it touches you in ways that you are sometimes hard to acknowledge and recognize, which you did a great job pointing out too, because it's there whether you see it or not. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a bad thing, but, you know, it does feel like a negative thing because, you know, it's over. If you don't acknowledge that it's over, or if you can't acknowledge that it's over, there's no getting away from it. That specter will always be there. You'll be a trio, never a duo. Great job.
All right. I also want to say Canada represent. Gonzo is out on the board. Great to see him. And the international flavor continues.
Hey, G.
Mocha, what did you think of reading that piece?
Everybody knows I'm a Nine fan girl. I'm going to keep saying it. He's a really good writer. Because first of all, I gave him points for writing in a female perspective and actually having it be accurate. I think that most times that males attempt that, no offense, it's never accurate. It's usually like they create this female character that just worships them in some way or worships men in some way. But that's not always 100% accurate. You know, if she hadn't burned the shirt and everything down in, like, the second to last stanza, I would have been like, oh, she's completely unbelievable because, you know, she's just acquiescing to everything. But this was a very believable female voice, and it's relatable as a woman, which is why when I read it the first time, I was so impressed. I was like, damn, it sounds like, is he in my brain? So I gave him a lot of points for that. And then, two, the storytelling in it. I mean, there's so much layers to it, even though it is a very pretty simple story when you look at it. You know, there's the idea, like Rack and Jay, both of you touched on, of falling for someone and craving them and wanting them to be around all the time. And just even the little section where she's like, come on, one more minute, don't hang up. You know, it's not always physical, like the scent. Sometimes it's their voice. It's like any little piece of them that you can have or hang on to, you do hang on to. And it's almost, he's right, it is kind of like an addiction. And she gets to the point where you know this person is bad for you, you know, they're inconsistent, they're not giving you what you want, how you want it. And you make this, you sort of resolve yourself to stop being in this relationship with this person. And then they just show up out of the blue, and all of a sudden you're back to being like, yeah, just take me again, you know? all of a sudden all of your defenses are gone. You know, the 2 weeks that you spent being mad, burning shirts and deleting messages and ripping up pictures and saying, you know what, I'm done with this, I'm done, I'm moving on, just goes straight down the drain just because they appear in front of your face again. And love is like that. It's a deliciously torturous experience, honestly. And I think he captured that perfectly. You know, it's a little bit in contrast to Titus's. This is a little bit more of the dark side of love, quote, quote. I don't mean to quote myself, but it's a little bit more on the darker, more realistic side. I think this is what love is like for most of us. You know, this sort of back and forth experience. And I think he did really, really wonderful in capturing all of those little bits and pieces. The amount of information that he gave us. I think this was really, really well done, and I actually added it to my melted chocolate list because it is a little sensual, and I enjoyed the sensual notes in there because sex is another part of love. Like, we can't talk about it and not talk about the physical intimacy as well, and you know, the after effects of that, like looking around for people's scent and shirts that they left over. It's all very, very intimate, the things that he described. And I think it was really, really well done. Thank you, Nine, for bringing this poem, and thank you for allowing me to read it. I very much enjoyed it.
All right. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to be putting the phone call. But I agree with you totally. As far as
I just posted it.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, you did?
Okay, I guess you beat me to it by like 2 seconds.
Oh. All right. Well, I want to say that you're dead on as far as that desire, that want to have one more second with that person, to have one more bit, the voice, the smell, the whatever. You're absolutely right. I think that you just absolutely nailed it on that, Mocha. And without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and play mine because I think it fits so well with this poem that Nine brought. But it's kind of from a man's perspective this time, even though the title is You Need to Tell Her You're Sorry. And here it goes.
You need to tell her you are sorry. Damage is a hand slap from habit, sculpted gloop that shills the verbiage of the razor blade rainbows and the pockets full of poses. You left scars that delivered roller coaster rides, rotating on the rusted tracks until the vomit cascades from the mouth into the beautiful brains of the jeweled treasure. Larkspur, chrysanthemums, daisies, and narcissus all lined in the insecurities of the fog, skirting the lungs, ribcage, the mandible, the skull. Try to plant the garden. Tropical oasis in the strong earth, but you convinced me to use your potting soil, your putrid manure. I want hibiscus, orchids, the bougainvillea, the jasmine, no wilting asters, blooming Ashanti blood. You painted me with the dark side of gray, palette of the thunderheads, ripping the nouns and adjectives from the python's jaw. Did you know hands with the persimmon nail polish are the assassin's switchblade? You ruined me, the vibrancy of the man.
You got the mic, Mocha.
An example of one of the relationships that did not go so well, and this is why this person is an ex, because child, she's a number on you. Just reading this poem, this is it's really intense. Word I'm looking for here. Acid, maybe, is the word that I'm looking for from you. Like, I mean, I've heard you do scary, I've heard you do funny, I've heard you do, like, disappointed and sad, and but this is the first time I've felt anger, like, rah-rah, shout loud type of anger. No, this is like a quiet type of rage almost channeled into this poem. It's burning. There's a little bit of bitterness in here as well. I mean, oh, your language in this poem too. Damage is a hand slap from habit. I mean, that quote, that's a really good line to start with, strong starting line. I always like to look at people's ending lines because those need to kind of be your two powerful lines for the right. And if you don't grab me from the first line, usually I have an idea that, you know, maybe not going to be one of my favorites. This is definitely really strong. I mean, razor blade rainbows and the pockets. But no, a pocket full of poses, if that was purposeful, is that you're giving me a different meaning here. Pocket full of poses. I'm going to come back to that one. I'm contemplating that one a little bit. But generally, story sounds like you're talking to maybe an ex who you had an experience with, but
you're breaking up, Mocha. Yeah, we don't hear you at all right now.
Blog Talk is unkind.
Yeah, Blog Talk's messing it up right now. Rack, we're going to let you go ahead and make a comment.
Yeah,
right now.
I hate to preempt what she was saying, but, you know, yeah, I got that same sense of frustration in what you wrote. I think you did a wonderful job expressing yourself. I like it very much because you're acknowledging, I think, the potential of what you saw, what could have been. You're hinting that you gave everything, and the thanks for it was just that slap that you mentioned. That was very telling, because, you know, sometimes, you know, in a relationship, when you're not treated like you're supposed to be, it's hard to say, you know, well, what was that about, and then correct it. When they think that that's what the norm is supposed to be, you know, and you know, it's how do you correct someone for something like that when this is what their idea of love is, and it doesn't jive with yours? And ultimately, that's kind of what this is about to me, is, you know, you both had a different idea of what love was supposed to be, and, you know, really, one was closer to abuse than love, and you know, you walked away to save yourself. So, you know, I really enjoyed it. You did a great job with that, Jay. You really did.
Thank you. And
the blade rainbows, like she mentioned, that was a great line too. That stood out to me as well. And that hand slap in the beginning.
I appreciate that. Let me go to the line and say hello to Sweet. Hello, Sweet. The button, Sweet. The button.
Nah, you're dreaming. She's not there.
I see her there. I know she's there.
Nah.
Sweetie, You got the button going or Blog Talk messing up with her too?
Sweet Pea's a figment of my imagination. She's not really there.
Blog Talk, why are you doing this to us? I wanna put a mention in there, what this poem is about, and because it goes much deeper than the actual relationship, and this is actually more than one relationship. This is the multiple, the combination of the multiple relationships of the past. This is stuff that they did to me that affects me today. And thus when it affects me today, it affects whoever I have a relationship in the future. And that's the direction that I went with in this poem, is that all of the damage that they have done in the past, all of that affects whoever I'm trying to be with in the future, and it affects pretty much everything that I try to do. And it's just like this major piece of damage in my life. Rooster put it great. He said, you really get the message across. Yep, past partners, past relationships rarely end in a rosy garden scenario, much more a case of heavy weeds in situation. Even so, as the case here, despite the hurt, the collateral damage taken on board to vent off enclosure and escape to rebuild again is in itself a moral victory. Rooster got it. I am saying he completely understood everything about it, and that was such an amazing comment to him to put onto my poem, and I appreciate that so much, Rooster. You really understood the whole meaning behind this, and it is a hard pill to swallow. Sweet, are you there? Yes or no?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, my goodness.
There, I told you she's not a figment of my imagination.
No, I'm here. I'm sorry. My headset is nuts. I had to just totally kill it and throw it, like, across the room.
Oh, cool. Congratulations.
Yeah.
What did you think about that poem? Did you get a chance to read it?
I actually heard it. You just couldn't hear me. You are talking about your poem, I hope.
Yes.
Okay, it is dark, and, you know, I think you should have taken the switchblade on her. Wow. I just love the ripping the nouns and adjectives from the python's jaw. That is some really fabulous writing, because pythons have one hell of a grip. I mean, they can, like, swallow rats. So if you're just being that swallowed up in from that point of view, and you can't even speak, and that's happening, man, I don't think this is a person you want to be around. And I'm glad that, you know, you're not with that person. I'm glad you're gone. I'm glad everything is away from there, and just go run. Let them swallow their own words, because that's the best thing to happen.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And people
that.
Like that, FYI, people like that don't ruin you. They ruin themselves.
Yeah. And like I said, the whole concept was the ruining, the affecting of the people that we try to be with in the future. But I understand what you're saying. And Mocha, did you come back?
Customization was right. I'm back. I don't know how much of my comment you heard before Blog Talk booted me very rudely. But what you just said, that was essentially my interpretation, that your experience with your ex negatively affects your attempts at new relationships. And that's definitely what I got. And she's right. I heard she said that woman is toxic, and I'm glad that you are far away from her. She's a danger to your health. You don't need to go back there. But I appreciate the beautiful poetry you made from the very ugly experience.
Thank you. Yeah, and like I said before, it's an accumulation of people from the past, and it's not necessarily the one person. I really think it's the multiple and the collateral damage from the overall that really unfortunately shapes us for pretty much whatever comes our way in the negative or positive light. And the people in the future don't deserve what happened to you, and they don't deserve what was done to you and how the other people affected you. So I think that you guys all put it greatly. And like I said, I appreciate what Rooster said on my poem, his comment. Loved it. All right. So what do we got coming up next?
I do believe we have wonderful Miss up next.
That's right. All the way from New Zealand. We've got a nice SoundCloud from her, too, so I'm excited about this. All right.
Oh, yay. We get to hear Karen's voice.
Yes, we do. So here we go.
I never did harness that storm. Still I stayed, drenched in it all. And it's been a while since crashing lightning tore strips through walls and raging thunder pounded down these doors. Though I caught my breath on the wind, inhaled my freedom, exhaled your sins. I whispered my desire to the sky, for in your absence I learned to fly. And baby, I got so, so high before crashing back down to the reality of life, this life. And we never made love in the rain. It was a fuck in the mud that just left me stained. Baby, it was pain. And it marked me so deep I forgot my own name. See, I know how the asphalt aches, how the gutters groan under anguished weight, the way the land it quakes, trembling all foundations till one day they break. And I'm not coming back, dressed in the blues, my heart's fully packed. Let me flow. These rivers deep were never yours to own. See, through this rain, I've grown. Though your gift of storm is all I've ever known. Let me go.
Oh, oh my God. Wow. Yeah, that last line was just like that killer line that just, okay, you're listening, like everything's okay, like she's going to be stronger, and then let me go. Everything just, all the air just got knocked out of me. She delivered a punch to the solar plexus. And I have no breath left in me. That was just phenomenal. The overall building up to that point, let me go. And the perfect stop of the music, the music that was performed by Chinansky, really added to that. I think that the overall piece was just phenomenal. Tans, amazing poem. Let's start the comments with Sweet Pea. Sweet, what do you think about that?
I think it's beautiful, and hold on one second. I got something in my inbox. It's driving me nuts. Can you come back to me, Jay? I just got to.
Sure.
I'll
start with Rack then.
Yeah, I think you heard my phone going a little nuts. I'm sorry about that. I didn't hear it. It was something, I don't know what the hell, decided to play, and my audio got completely drowned out. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It seems that we're having technical difficulties on every side, but okay. Mocha is gushing over this poem, so we've got to let her comment.
Sorry, Tim.
I'll chat so I can give Sweet Pea some time. First of all, the title I love, and the asphalt ache. The word ache really brings a very specific feeling to mind. And of course, she starts out, again, perfect starting line. I never did harness that storm. Still, I stayed drenched in it all, and it's been a while. I'm sorry, I heard a lot of 90s songs going through my head as I read this poem, but I think the story she told, the feelings that she evoked, she's really good. She has this similarity to Bella in that they are very good at bringing out intense emotions without always having to use intense wordplay to match that up. And those first three lines were a good indication of that to me. It was a good example of that. She never did harness that storm of her ex-partner, you know? And even though, you know, she stayed around getting drenched in it all, wading through the storm, eventually she got out. And once she got out, she realized how much better everything was without that person, how much more light, how more free she felt. And it was a wonderful experience. Like, you always go through these, usually in toxic relationships, at least from my experience, until somebody pulls you out and you experience or see an example of what a proper relationship should be like, a healthier relationship, or just a healthier you, you know? Sometimes you get pulled out of that environment. You might get called out for a girl's night out or something and sit down and talk or just see examples of other people with their significant others, and it sort of just reminds you that you are not the crazy person in the relationship. You're not wrong for asking better for yourself from your partner, or asking for time, for respect, for whatever it may be. You're not wrong for wanting that in a relationship. And you learn that, and it's like it opens your eyes, which experience I think she's talking about here. You know, she got out, learned to fight, and then crashed down back to the reality, realizing we never made love in the rain. It was a fuck in the mud. Those two lines really hit. It's like she notices now that her eyes are open and looking back that, you know, this relationship wasn't what I thought it was. You were seeing everything through rose-colored glasses. And then she steals herself and decides to get up and leave. And clearly this person doesn't want her to leave because she has to tell them at the end of the poem, look, let me go, you know? Let me be because I don't want this anymore. And that is not the easiest thing to do for everyone. Not everybody is brave enough stand up for themselves like that. Some of us go through horrible relationships, perhaps, you know, mentally and emotionally abusive relationships, and it changes us, and you think that, you know, you just have to acquiesce and accept everything, and you have to stay. No, you never have to stay. You can always leave. The door is always there, and never let anybody, you know, convince you different. This poem was amazing, Chance. I could talk about it all day, but I need to shut up because we have other callers on the line. So, Sweet, are you ready to comment for a turn?
Actually, no, I apologize. I have kind of an emergency going on. I'll let you know when I can comment again. I apologize.
No problem.
Sweet. In the meantime, why don't we bring on Naomi? No, it's cool. In the meantime, let's get Naomi up in here. Hi, Naomi.
Hello. How are you all?
Hello.
We're great. You know, talking about exes.
Hey,
yeah.
And Jack.
I sent you
a gift for the studio, Jay, if you feel like it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, check
okay.
The messages. You'll get a kick out
all
of it.
Right.
You really will.
Early. Anyway, Naomi, did you have a chance to hear Tan's poem? Would you like to comment?
No, I'm sorry. I was running around before phoning in, so I didn't. I'm so sorry, Tan, but I will get to it later and read it.
That's no problem. In the meantime, Shay, let's do a segment.
All right.
Which should
and
we do?
Rack.
Are we doing Gonzo or Naomi?
We're going to do Gonzo. I'm still working on uploading Naomi's, so I have a feeling it's a big file, and we may not get it done today, but I'm going to do a little Gonzo here, and we got a little act naturally, so here we go.
They're going to put me in the movies. They're going to make a big star out of me. They'll make a film about a man who's sad and lonely, and all I got to do is act naturally.
Welcome to Act Naturally with Gonzo, the show where we shine a spotlight on allpoetry.com members and their work. Today's episode features all poetry writer Dante 16 and his work, KC. Inspired by the personal loss of a close friend, this is a sad and emotional piece. Enjoy. KC by Dante 16. How can I say it? I'm not sorry for the hell pit you guided yourself in. I lended you my help, man. You refused and crashed a car then. Fuck it. What am I supposed to do now? Casey, buddy, it was you and me against the flow. I can't say I'm not wrong. How's it going up there? It's been years now since you're gone. And I've moved on. Homie, I found that one girl. That's my world and I would do anything for her, man. Sometimes we argue and once I found myself driving like you, that's the moment I think of it that night. You gotta keep it off the dirt, right? Because I have it, Mike. For more information regarding today's poet, Dante 16, go to www.allpoetry.com/Dante16. D-A-N-T-E 16. That's www.allpoetry.com/Dante16. D-A-N-T-E 16. Thanks for stopping by and keep that pen on the page.
Well, you're a reflection. You're supposed to do just what I do. But you do ludicrous things. I do what? Ludicrous things. Of course I do. I'm an artist. And all I gotta do is act naturally.
Thank you, Gonzo. Thank you, Gonzo. Thank you, Gonzo. Awesome. All right. And we suggest you check
yeah,
out
that
all
was
of
great.
Our... great poets that Gonzo has been featuring in his wonderful Act Naturally segments. Yeah, there you go, Tan, saying it's a great performance. All right, where are we going from here, Mocha?
I think we're going to put Racky Poo up next. Why not?
Absolutely. And Rack, I can't see that message you sent me.
That's a shame. I'm sorry.
No problem.
You'll get it eventually.
I'm pretty sure I will. All right. Let's get your poem up there. And here we go.
Still by Raconteur. I wonder if I ever stood a chance. After all, what do I know about romance? You loved me for me, stared into my soul and embraced it, trusted me with your heart, and I went and misplaced it. And when closing your eyes could no longer ease the pain, and thinking of me caused your spirit to drain, you simply had to walk away or risk going insane. How I feel doesn't matter if we can't get past the strain. Oh, how I wanted to. Don't think for a minute this means I've stopped caring or ever will. What we had meant the world to me. I cherish the laughter and pleasure still. But the hole left behind is one I can never fill. You're truly gone. And long after, reminders of us have turned to dust, and the tears I've cried have dried, I'll still love you. End poem.
Oh my gosh, this is absolutely brilliant. It's like we keep on getting punched in the gut, punched in the gut, punched in the gut. What do you mean?
You're chomping at the bit.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Finish.
I am. I can't help it. It's like, oh my God. Freaking amazing. I just want to say that this was another punch in the gut. You know, this was a mirror of Tanz's. I'm sorry I jumped in here so quick. I just couldn't help myself. I just, God, Rack, you know, you and Tanz just absolutely gave us a 1-2 punch, and I don't think I got any ribs left. I'm sorry. That's about all I can say. And Sweet Pea is back, Mocha, so if you want to. I can't talk
anymore. Yeah, I thought. Wait,
don't
would you like to comment?
Yes. First off, my beautiful Raconteur, may I never cause a teardrop to fall from your beautiful face. Because as long after reminders of us have turned to dust and the tears I have cried have dried, I will still love you. Holy mother of goodness sakes. I want someone to write love poems like this to me. Please, someone out there.
Right?
Anyone. I don't care. Male, female, dog. I don't care. Just someone. I. This is so beautiful and romantic, and every word in here, it's just like how I feel doesn't matter if we can't push past the strain. Oh, how I want to. I don't know how you write these things, but yeah, I'm coming to visit. I'm coming to live with you. I don't know what I'm coming, but I'm coming to you. Just gorgeous.
I think he'll be good if you just come, honestly. Wait, wrong show. Never mind. Let's take that comment back real quick. Naomi. Naomi's still here, yes?
Yeah. Oh, Rack. I just want to hug you. this is such a heart-wrenching ride. I mean, like JCA said, it just hits you in the gut, and it's so moving, and it's so emotional, I have no words either. I just, a hug, okay? just a big, big hug, okay?
Thank you.
Oh, well, Rocky Poo, you really did kind of hit us somewhere in like the solar plexus or the sternum with this. We're all breathless, clearly. I think that's because of how relatable this is. How I feel doesn't matter if we can't get past the strain is one of the lines, like this week we called out that I it was really intense to read. And the thing is about this too, Rack, is that there's no huge use of metaphor or anything. He's literally just calling everything out as it is. And maybe that's what grips us and gets us too, is that he didn't sugarcoat anything. He went straight for it. You know, you trusted me with your heart and I went and misplaced it. A lot of people in relationships, and a lot of people like to blame their ex for the relationship ending, but when you have the self-awareness to know that you made a mistake and that mistake has cost your love, it is something that stays with you and affects you. You know, there's a very keen sense of guilt that comes with that, knowing that you were the one who messed up, not the other person. And sometimes there is no coming back from that. I mean, this stanza, don't think for a minute, this means I stopped caring or ever will. What we had meant the world to me. I cherish the laughter and pleasure still. But the hole left behind is one I could never fill. God, but it's... It hurts. It really does. It hurts to read and to experience. And you captured it and this poem so easily. I mean, I'm sure writing this was easy. I'm sure experiencing things you experienced, things to the emotional level, was not easy. And my stomach actually turned a little bit with an ache while you read it, because it's so raw and intense and deeply relatable, I think, to anybody who's been in a relationship that they've made a mistake in. I mean, beautifully done, Rack. And all the women on the line want to hug you and Jay.
Hey, we got someone special on the line.
Skadoodle-doo.
That we do.
Hi, mister.
Hi, Amucha. Hi, JC. Hi, everybody on the board.
Hey.
On the line.
Hi, mister.
Can you all hear me okay? Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Hear you perfect.
Yeah. That's a good job.
Yeah.
Talk there. Blog Talk's behaving for me, anyway.
Hey, the look of the Irish.
Hey, some very powerful emotive poems this afternoon. It's going to be hard to compete with it.
Well, we'll see what you got going for us first.
How can I compete with that one from Raconteur? He stole my thunder now. All the girls want to run to him.
But Rooster, you have that Irish voice. You don't need to compete with anyone.
Oh, thank you, sweet pea. You're checking in the post, doesn't.
All right. Well, let's get that Irish voice going.
Hey, JC, can I just when sweet pea's there, she recently picked a poem, selected one for a front page pick. It's the God Particle. It's called. It got an awful lot of reviews and a lot of great reviews and. It was sweet. He picked it out for me. Maybe some other week I'll post it on the board and read it in the shows. But Sweet Pea, thank you very much. I can say when you're on the line in person, thank you very much for your kindness and selecting that poem for me.
Well deserved, sir.
You're very kind. So what about this poem of mine? I feel it's a poor effort compared to what I've heard so far. JC, yours was the need to tell her, sorry, my goodness. You really got the matches over there, didn't you, boy? What a read.
There you go.
And then Hans, boy, she had me. She really blew my socks off with sincerity there. And the genuine, the love was needed, not just a quick roll in the hay. That was some read by Tom, some right by Tom's. And then Reconteur, I even had a grown rooster's tears to his eyes. I even felt sorry for him. I want to come round his house and make him a cup of tea or give him a beer.
I'll give you a slice of apple pie.
That'll do, Rack. I hope you do that. Listen, enough waffling from me. You want to hear my poultry effort?
Absolutely.
Give it a go. Give it a go.
Yes,
give it a go
do.
Now. Promise not to laugh. It's all true. Here we go. Every word of it's true. You're all sitting comfortably, I'll begin. It's called The Wrong Bachelor. Long time ago now, it must be said, Mrs. Cogburn the First, red-handed, red-faced, with the milkman upstairs, caught her out licking cream of his head. Excuse me about that. He ran off with the scoundrel, tat-a-tat, shameless hussy. I'm no Casanova, though always consider myself able. How dare the Jezebel call me inadequate? Mrs. Cogburn the Second, I loved her dearly, near as much as I love tobacco and beer. Always wanting to dress up, go into town. It's not for me. A recipe for disaster, quite clearly. So the wheels of calamity soon set in motion, not too long before an agreed annulment. It cost me deep in the wallet, though good riddance. So what, come the weekend, I drink dry an ocean. And as for Mrs. Cogburn the Third, I hear you ask. Well, I still haven't met her. But there's no big hurry. To again be dissed by a woman so selfish. But I guess like I likely fall for Cleopatra and get bit in the ass. Thank you very much, guys. You're all brilliant. Talk to you all again very soon. Love you all.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Rooster.
Thank you, Rooster.
Thank you, yes. I needed this.
No, absolutely.
I needed this. I needed Rooster to make me smile through all of the intense emotions we've had so far for the show.
Absolutely, yeah. He really brought that forward and really got excited about that. I love the little humor there at the end, especially talking about Mrs. Cogburn the Third. Ready to? I don't know what she'll be like, but you know, he's already expecting her to bite him in the ass. I like that. That's great.
Kind of links back to what you were talking about in your poem about, you know, expecting the worst from your partner because of your past relationship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but it's almost like I'm expecting to do the worst, and that's the problem. But, yeah, I get what you're saying there, but, yeah. Sweet. Can you give your 2 cents on that?
Well, Rooster, you might enjoy a good bite in the ass if it's from the right lassie.
Oh my God. That is great. That is great. Rack, what do you think, man?
Help me out. Did he say ass or asp? ASP.
ASS.
ASS.
Oh, okay. I thought he went for the pun because I appreciate the sentiment. You know, when you say Cleopatra, you know, you gotta cover your asp. But it's that old dog new tricks thing. You never learn. You know, you just keep coming back for more. And you know, that cheesy pickup line. You know, you look like my next wife. Things like that. It makes me think of things like that. You know, you want to laugh, but you know he's right. You know, it's true and it's sad and it's really nothing to laugh at because, you know, reality, truth is stranger than fiction. You're in a bar or you're in a relationship and things just play out the way that they play out, and you kind of dust yourself off and try and keep on going, but you know, the history tends to repeat itself. And like Sweet says, you know, if the right person bites you in the ass, you know, you found the right situation. It's hard to find that situation though, and that's the problem I think we all have. You know, the whole joke about again I keep relating it to humor, but you know, that's kind of where my mind goes. You know, but your keys are always in the last place you look. Well, that's because you stop looking after you find them. And same thing about relationships. You know, that statement about you know, I never knew what love was until I fell in love with you. You know, when it's right, it's right, and you know, until that happens, it's like stepping in a mess of shit. And he did a great job with that, Rooster. He really did.
Amazing comment. Just amazing. Naomi.
Yeah. Rooster's always a hoot. I mean, I just love listening to him and his voice and everything, that Irish accent. Oh, my gracious. And this is just like another one of his, you know, amazing, amazing pieces. And I just loved it, Rooster. And thank you so much for the laugh. And, you know, and I hope you do meet that special someone, you know, one day. I'm sure you will.
She might just fall in love with
you. Let's finish up those comments with Mocha.
Oh, well, I love Rooster's humor, and I will keep saying it. I'll continue to say it till the end of time. But you know how they say humor tends to come from some of the darkest individuals, or individuals who've gone through some of the worst shit? Like, we always laugh at the worst things. And, you know, if you can't laugh about it, then you probably haven't gotten over it or gotten to a point where you're comfortable with it yet. So even though the events in the poem are very serious and they're very upsetting when you think about it, because I'm still mad that Rooster walked in on Mrs. Cogburn the First with the milkman. How dare yon Jezebel? I love that he used that in a poem too, the word Jezebel. We actually, in Trinidad, we actually do refer to women who cheat as that sometimes. So I loved it. But it is so serious, and it does upset you a little bit. But the fact that Rooster can write about it in a joking tone makes you feel like, okay, you know, he's healed enough to laugh about it, so therefore I can laugh about it too. And, I mean, I do hope you find Mrs. Cogburn the Third, but my only advice, I think, is make her sign a prenup, because we do not want to repeat Mrs. Cogburn the Second.
Amen.
All right.
I think we got...
Thank you very much, Rooster, for coming and calling in. And we have Deb on the line. Welcome, Deb.
Hello, everyone.
Deb.
Good to be here.
Nice to hear your voice.
Yes.
Did you want to comment on Rooster's poem?
Yeah, I was just saying it's like really powerful, impressive emotion that's shared in here. Like sadness with the runoff with a scoundrel for a tete-a-tete, a shameless hussy. I kind of get a grin when I hear that Shameless Hussy. I'm no Casanova. I thought that was awesome. Mrs. Cogburn II, loved dearly, near as much as I love tobacco, beer, always wanting to dress up and go into town, and for me, a recipe for disaster, quite clearly. I'm sitting there and I'm trying to picture she's getting all dialed up, ready to go, all dressed up and no place to go, and he's like, oh, no, I'm just going to smoke this ciggy and have a beer, and I wasn't planning on going anywhere. And then to wrap it up at the end, but I'll likely fall for Cleopatra and get bit in the ass, and that cracked me up, too. It shouldn't, but it did, because, like, you know, you got to wonder, you could like it. It could be fun. But no, it's a really cool share.
Thank you for that awesome comment. So up next, we have Miss Sweet. And Jay, can you knock her, drop her on the board for me, please?
He did. I'm dropped.
She is on the board.
Right. Oh, he did? Oh, well, I need to
refresh.
Yes, I am. Sorry. Proceed.
Oh, like she said, I'm drunk.
No, not right now. Maybe
a
later.
A little early.
That's my show. I might be drunk. You never know. this is crying on broken shoulders. Teardrops rain past the shoulder bone. A refuge once, now a shattered home. Water drips into lungs, struggling for next breath. Choking on crackling ribs, pain grins, willing death. Ebony shadows crept into years of bliss. Hate and resentment become the lover's kiss. Closed eyes ignore signs of broken vows. Love endures, holding hands, they take their bow. End poem.
Wow. What an intense brevity poem. I mean, you did not let up anywhere. I mean, the poem from beginning to end. This really evokes this feeling of those couples that are a little bit broken, perhaps, and they know that they're broken, but they stay together for whatever reason and stew in it. Like, they stay together for the kids or just because they're look like to their neighbors or their coworkers or whatever. Close eyes, ignore signs of broken vows. Love endures, holding hands, they take their bow. They take their bow because they're performing, you know? They know that everything in their relationship is a performative point and that the love is no longer there. I mean, it sounds like a dead marriage, and that's sad. But it's also a reality that a lot of people end up experiencing for whatever reason when they get married. And it does tie back to Rooster's poem a little bit. It's like a more serious take on it. It makes me think of perhaps how the contention may have been between him and Mrs. Cogburn II, you know, where they're unhappy and they're sort of settling in because it's like, oh, we just got married, we can't break up with each other. You know, it's not a light relationship. People take marriage very seriously. And some people will refuse to divorce their husbands or their wives for solely, like, small reasons, like their religion and things that have nothing to actually do with their personal health or happiness. They make whatever excuses or they have whatever reasons they have for not wanting to leave and to do better. They stay in these performative relationships. I think this is an amazing poem. We really, really love it.
Thank you.
First up, Racky Poo, would you like to comment first?
Yeah, it definitely smells of a broken marriage. you know, I've gone through. I can relate. You kind of leave me tongue tied. You know, it's one of those things where It tickles my imagination in one way and breaks my heart in 12 others. So I think you know where I'm going.
Thank you.
Deb, would you like to comment?
Yeah. Really, really powerful brevity. We got four cards. And look how much is being said. Water, rain, passes the shoulder bone, a refuge once, now a shattered home. That one sentence, a refuge once, now a shattered home, is really powerful, sweet. It's like, I didn't think about it that way, but once upon a time, it would be where you'd go to lay your head down and get that hug to make you feel better, and now it's just shattered. Really, really powerful. I wish I wrote that line. Ebony shadows crept into years of bliss. Hate and resentment became the lover's kiss. There's that sad line between love and hate, and you tip over one way or another, and it defines what's coming out next. So, like, again, I say, a whole hell of a lot packed into four little couplets. Great brevity.
Thank you.
Looks like Sweepy herself.
And Jay, you get last comment.
Oh, I think this was absolutely brilliant. You're talking something that really is. It's relatable because of the fact that many people want to turn a blind eye to what's truly going on. And I think that is the whole picture behind this poem is, you know, that we got problems going on, but, you know, I'm like, we can't really see it well enough to recognize it ourselves. It's like, if it's right in front of our face, you know, bottom line is we can't even see it. And I think that you have done an amazing job with this, pointing that particular thing out. And I think that, yeah, it's brilliant. And it's for such short words, I think you did an awesome job. Amazing job there. So what we have next is a little treat here, and I'm kind of excited about this. We have Mocha. We're going to play your piece up next, and this is
okay.
We're just going
to
let it play out because
Everybody get ready to be depressed.
This is brilliant. So here we go.
Seasonal Affective Disorder by Mocha 868. When the tail ends of storms tickle the tapered tips of twin isles, and chilled autumnal winds blow through the north, your hurricane begins stirring its cacophonous cocktail in my foggy brain. As sanguine Montpellier maple leaves begin their deciduous downward dance towards a graceful expiration, I remember. I hate October. I am acutely aware we celebrated your existence on this day, and in the vacuum of you there is only static. The garbled, dissonant sounds of the thundering rain, punctuated with the muffled hauntings of a vestal maiden's giggle. The dead laughter sings to the frigid wetness, like a prayer, like a curse. As Caribbean shades of crimson begin creeping out, sorrel, poinsettias, and homemade wine, and parang chimes over tinkling nights, I remember. I hate Christmas. I am acutely aware that the last time you gave me your sweet punishment, that succulent opiate, I love you, was exactly 1,813 days, 6 hours, and 47 seconds ago. An appetizing gift to my aching malnourishment, sent on Christmas Day at 11:11. Like a prayer, like a curse. As children pirouette with the sparklers, their shrill chuckles scenting the air with joy, while overeager boys combust their fireworks prematurely, I remember. I hate New Year's. I am acutely aware that time has fasted our tourmaline and garnet poima into its dodecahedron, and soon our reflections will become a baker's dozen. So, like a demented Cinderella, as the clock strikes 12, I sprint to any sacred ground where I can find you, to clutch your lingering traces, to wrap myself around the shadow of your memory, and before the magic fades, offer pleading whispers to God for another year of your health, your safety, your happiness. The searing tears carve molten rivulets down my cheeks, baptizing beseeching breaths. As a prayer, blessed by a curse. End poem.
Oh, wow. And I'm like absolutely choked up about this poem. It's so deep. It's so ripping to know how a person affects you. How you still hold something in your heart for them, but you absolutely are torn up. I mean, the picture itself, I really wish I could love you as much as you love me. I can't, and that hurts. Wow, this is brilliant in a way that just tears at you and just rips you apart and just leaves you on the ground almost in a heap of tears and a heap of a puddle. You know, we can all relate to something like this as far as someone in our past has affected us so much that we just can't let go of that person, and it drags us into a moment of a curse. Just absolutely brilliant, Mocha. I can't say enough about this poem. It just leaves me speechless. Deb, what did you think about that?
Okay. I have to say, for one, there was something in your voice that made it like a dream or a haunting, and it just pulls us in and intoxicates with the tones as it keeps us reading. And I look at your title, Perfect Seasonal Affective Disorder, SAD. You know, we've all heard of that, but not like this. And then I read your unsent message. I really wish I could love you as much as you love me. I can't, and that hurts. And it profound for a second. I think, well, this is the most amazing way I've ever heard somebody say it's not you, it's me. Geez. And then you have pieces in there like an appetizing gift to my aching malnourishment sent on Christmas Day at 11:11, like a prayer, like a curse. Just contrast there, like a prayer, like a curse, boggles the mind because you don't think it can be both, but it can. We all know it can. And then where's that? So like a demented Cinderella, at the clock strike 12, I sprint to any sacred ground where I can find you, to clutch your lingering traces, to clutch your lingering traces. Talk about someone that is wanting, longing, needing so much that they're clutching at traces. So, like, this is an extremely powerful piece. And then to end, the searing tears carve molten rivulets down my cheeks, baptizing, beseeching breaths as a prayer, blessed by a curse. That prayer curse contrast is really haunting. Brilliant work.
Thank you, Jeff.
Crack, what do you think?
Yeah, she's got talent, that's for sure. You know, it's very touching and emotional. You know, there's a lot of it that Deb called out that's, you know, quote worthy. You know, that the fact that you got that time in burned in your brain, it kind of punch you the statement at the same time. You know, it's one of those things that happens to you. You kind of never forget it, and you know, you notice the time on the clock. You feel that moment, and it stays with you way past, you know, the few seconds that it takes for it to happen. And you know, and the fact that, you know, the time kind of recurs, it echoes with that. And it's one of those things that you can't get away from. I think, like Deb mentioned, haunting is probably the best word for it. You did a great job, Mocha.
Thank you, Rick.
For the record, I love it when people say Deb is right. Thanks, Rick.
last comment goes to Naomi.
Oh, this is so beautifully written. I mean, it's hard to say it's beautiful because it's so sad there, but it is so beautifully written. The way you use metaphors all throughout this, Mocha, and your language, how you worded it, and the metaphors in this, oh my gracious, it's just like outstanding work. And the last line there, as a prayer blessed by a curse, like, I mean, this is so deep and so powerful and so heart-wrenching. It's just like stunning, you know, ink across the page here, like bravo.
Thank you, Naomi.
Wonderful. And where are we going from here, Mocha?
From here, we're just going to do Naomi, I think.
I can read piece since I'm here.
Okay, that would be great.
Okay. So this is called Bye Bye Butterfly. My second relationship, it took me a long time to trust again, my first relationship being a descent into hell. But slowly you won me over. Oh, you were so patient, so persistent. Not the kind to compliment, nor bring flowers. Just always there helping out. Always there like a butterfly fluttering by. Gently, tenderly teaching me to love again, making me want once more to become the soft flower I once was and let you settle upon my petals. Oh, yes, with that damn smile of yours, that smile that made me drunk on you like wine jumping out of a glass, that made my world sway and teeter-totter till I didn't even notice anymore because I no longer knew what it was like to be still. Yes, 16 years together, you helped me raise my kids. We even had a beautiful boy together. And you were the best of fathers, always there changing diapers, getting up to feed the baby in middle of nights. And I loved you, and you loved me. But I know we had slowly withered, yes, rotted away into nothing. Then one morning, you said you'd met another, and I cried for half an hour. I'm not the kind that is easily broken. I sat with you at the kitchen table, asked you who she was, wished you the best of luck, and then you simply left. I started life over, suddenly felt a heavy weight lifted. I was happy again. I realized that together was no longer a fulfilling place. I started painting again, started running again, started writing again. I became myself again. I quickly started dating, looking for someone better because I had grown up and knew more what I needed, what I wanted, what I totally deserved. So life goes on, and yes, we still talk, and you're doing good. You'll always be the father of my last child, a bond stronger than any grudges, and I wish you the best. You are a good man. But I realized we had just matured, both needing, both wanting something better. And yes, I will always cherish those times we spent together as I continue being a better me, looking for someone more suited to fulfill the woman I've become, a man who compliments with compliments and flowers, a man I can talk to for hours, a man with another kind of damn smile that will scratch the insides of my oystered body till a pearl grows deep inside and swallows my every breath. Yes, a man as good as you, just one that fits better the person I've become, and I hope you've found that too. End poem.
Oh, wow. This is brilliant, Naomi. I love this because it shows, you know, that you hold no grudges against this. And I think that you still want that person to have that happiness, to have that life. And you know closer to what you're looking for in the end. And I think that's what draws this to a shade of beauty. And you did such an amazing job with this. Bravissimo. Bravissimo. Let me see. Deb, what did you think about this piece?
Yeah, I agree with some of the stuff you were saying. It's rare to find someone out of a relationship that can say some of the beautiful things that you said here about the fact that they're the father of your child, and no matter what, you know, you'll always have that together. Because more often than not, the other person's first inclination is spite, is payback, is retribution, is to strike out and hurt any way they can. And sometimes, you know, it's not necessary. It's just things. People grow apart, and you can feel that in here. And whether you know it or not, your classiness shows in your lines and in your treatment of this person, and your for lack of a better way to put it, your very grown-up way of looking at this, you know? Bye Bye Butterfly is such a sad title for me, so I was like, uh-oh. But the contrast of saying goodbye to that butterfly, but yet there's not really a goodbye. 16 years together, and, you know, you raised kids together, and you have a beautiful son, and he was a great dad, and for you to say all those things, always there changing diapers. So it's not like he was just some scumball that you decided to scrape off your shoes one day. It just didn't happen. And to close there, yes, a man as good as you, just one that fits better. That's pretty awesome, Naomi. I have to say I'm really, really impressed. And I think mine's probably the polar opposite of this, but this is beautiful.
Yeah, I think all of ours is the polar opposite of this. Rack, what do you think?
Yeah, it's hard to look at something logically or like this. You would like to think people can be adult about things when split up and can separate themselves from those emotions. You didn't exactly separate yourself from the emotion. You could feel the hurt in it, but at the same time, you know, you approached it like, you know, very factually. Which would be, you know, nice if a lot of people could do things like that, but it's difficult, you know. I know it echoes a lot of what happened when I split up with my ex, but, you know, she took the route that Deb was talking about, you know, pure venom, anything, you ruined my life, anything to hurt, you know. You talk about, you know, I was the one that was saying, you know, you were the mother of my children, and she was the one that was like, you know, saying shit about me behind my back, you know, you're never going to see them again, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I can relate to your point of view really well, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when children are involved especially, it's like, you know, whatever happens between us happens between us, but you got to consider the welfare of the children too. So you have to, you know, act accordingly and not be that raging lunatic that you really kind of want to do, because, you know, it feels like, well, you deserve this kind of reaction to what you did. You know, how could you? You know, I mean, there's more questions than answers when something like this happens. And, you know, it's really hard to say, you know, well, I don't know that I'm ever going to get those answers. And that's kind of what makes it so sad, because, you know, you're in it and you know, if you anything like me, which it sounds like you are, you know, you went into it with the idea of, you know, forever is forever. And, you know, people that are in love work things out. They don't just say goodbye. And it's one of those things where if someone would have said, you know, well, you're going to get divorced or you're going to split up, you'd have been like, nah, that ain't going to happen. You know, I don't believe in divorce, you know. And then and people are determined to prove you wrong, unfortunately. This is very relatable. Beautiful poem, Naomi.
Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, what we have up next is we have something special from Gonzo. And before I do this, I'm going to say my thanks, because this may run a little bit over. And then we're going to go into overtime. And Deb, you're the first up in overtime right after Gonzo here. So I want to thank Rack, Naomi, Sweet Pea, Rooster, Deb, all for calling. 9 Tans and Gonzo out on the board. And we're kind of, like I said, I'm kind of excited to play this next one. I want to thank Mocha for all she does. And because this show does not work without her. She does such an amazing job of putting all this together, being my partner in crime and helping me out. I think she does a wonderful job, and hopefully she'll be able to connect back in here before we have to go off the air. So here is part 2 from Gonzo, and it is going to run over into overtime. So check out the playback, everybody, and here we go.
Papa, you tricked me. I thought you said this was going to be a happy story.
This story is awesome. There's knives and beer.
I don't like this story because I think it's scary.
Be quiet. We're finishing this story.
You be quiet.
Stop fighting. Stop fighting. I said it would be both happy and scary.
Will Jan escape?
Of course he escaped. The story is about the only boy to ever escape Dimmerbigger.
What is the bird of bird?
Dimmerbigger is an unusual lava formation. The lava formed a circle. It is said to be a pathway for the devil to take his minions in and out of hell at his leisure.
So Jan escapes, right?
I told you, it says that in the title.
That's if he was the only boy in the Dimmerbigger.
Was he the only one, Papa?
I'm afraid he was not.
You know you'll never escape here.
Feeling thing.
No, I hate Christmas.
You have been very naughty.
I wish my mom was here.
I wish anyone was here.
She eats them, of course. What else would you do with children?
Little boy, wake up.
A woman in your child. This is the tale of the Yule of the Giant, and the only boy who ever escaped Dimmerbigger.
Boy, wake up.
Where am I? How did I get here?
One of those little freaks with the high-pitched squeak dropped you down this hole about 4 foot deep. If we can try and pry the wires that have us tied and bide our chance, we'll be short and frantic, but we can make it out if we really plan this. We just have to find the right time. I want to see my mother again. She's my only friend. The only one around since my father left and never came back. I want to say sorry for being such a brat. I'm sorry for rambling. You can call me Jack.
I know how you feel. I bet wanting your mom. But I fear mine's gone. Like your father had done. Except up in the sky. So no hope for her to come home. Just a memory and I will cry. I don't know why. So anger is all that I feel left inside.
I wish my mom was here.
I even wish my dad was here.
I wish anyone was here.
I had a knife, but I fear those fiends, very queer, have confiscated our weapons, so we are left to our own discretion.
As the two young boys search for their path, the dwarves secretly watch their struggle with a laugh, for they were not the first, nor would they be the last, nor the worst to try and stand tall to cast all the winds of fate and get back to their past. So the dwarves did patiently wait.
What's your name, little boy with no plan?
Stop calling me that. It's plain to see. I am a giant, in fact. My name is Jan. Soon I'll be gone. To bring the army back. To unleash hell at dawn.
That one simple word the dwarves knew quite well. One jumped into the pit to get closer as well as inquire a question, spurred by suggestion.
Little boy, do tell. What do you know of anything of hell?
Hell is a place of a wicked burn, and burn till lessons are learned.
Hell is a place for bad, naughty people.
And deserve to be punished for being so evil.
Yes, boy, indeed. But I clearly see you are not understanding my point. You're not understanding me. If this is a place of the wicked and bad, why are you here? And not home with your dad.
John the Giant fell silent as he tried to fight it, but the fear built inside him and the tears fell from his eyelids.
I'm afraid no escape will favor you today. No one escapes this place. No one escapes.
What about the boy from yesterday?
This tidbit of information had John's thoughts swarming. Alarming it sounded, but still he was confounded. It can only sound the only question in his mind that was foul.
Why are you taking children?
For our queen.
What does she want with kids like us?
She eats them, of course. What else would you do with children? I'm sorry, old chap, but many more chores to do. I'll see you after supper.
well. Whichever one she doesn't chew to pieces.
Oh, don't you just love a good cliffhanger? Oh, my gosh, this was brilliant. I am so proud of everything that Gonzo is doing in this project. It is brilliant. I loved it. What a story. And keep it going. I can't wait to see what happens next. And everybody is going to start everybody's going to just be glued to this and just absorb this like no other. Brilliant. Rack, what do you think?
Actually, it's a pit hanger. I liked it a lot. You know, the situation as it plays out, it's a fantastic story. You know, as we've been saying from beginning to end. It's very absorbing. It's very professionally done. I mean, it's incredible. He did an amazing job with it.
I agree 100%. Deb, what did you think about this one?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking that Gonzo's sort of born in the wrong era here, because he would have been perfect for those, what is it, fireside radio shows back in the day before TV, where everybody was glued to the radio to find out, hanging on every word, finding out what comes next. And then whichever one she doesn't chew to pieces, what a way to end it. You know, like he's got it all, the drama, the voices, the content, the edge of your seat, the cliffhanger. I mean, he's an extremely talented person here, and I'm really impressed at the sound clips. I actually put, you're quite talented, and I always enjoy listening to you. It's just like you call his work the drop the mic pieces. Really, really excellent. Excellent.
Start I agree with that 100%.
There wasn't
100%.
A finish. It was a cliffhanger, but still brilliant.
I always went up to the cabin. My dad would drive up in northern Minnesota, and there were times we did not get FM radio. We were in such a remote area that we had to turn the AM on, and we would always have these old-fashioned detective stories on the air, and they'd always leave with a cliffhanger, and I never ended up getting to hear how they ended up. So that's all they ended up with. So great comment, Deb. And Deb, we are going to play, have you read yours next.
All right. I am headed back into El Nostro Regno to find, here it is. Okay. All right, this is called Baking Valentine Cookies and Picking Up Tins at the Mall. Here we go. 1. The voice in the slideshow plays on loop inside my brain. It corners me, and now sleep holds no key to breaking from this prison. No oasis can thaw me from the icy darkness you drop-kicked me into. Not without the roaring flames from the fire pits, tossing up sparks to burn the yellow blaze back into the sun's shine. Chilling as the crimson moonbeams spread with a black light glow and shadowed finger stripes thread into opaque dry ice fog clogging the pores. Blood spills thick red from the backstabbed wound that pierces out breastbone, then clots, scabbing brown. As the smoking hellfire flares shoot up, they freeze, covering Beelzebub's throne in sharp, impregnable icicle spikes. 2. Caked and crusted, sticky platelet-stained flesh, shaped in a broken, flaking, freeze-dried valentine scab. The scab is you. I pick it off, and it bleeds goodbyes. 4. Shopping list reads, ingredients for baking cookie cutter dolls and gingerbread. Sharp red pushpins, an abomin of blood-tinted thread. Plucked hair follicles from the pillow on the bed, an itching powder to line that mohair suit jacket with 2. Candle wax drips as light dances to an incantation said with fingertips pushing pins through the gingerbread heads. And boom.
Oh, my gosh. Tell us how you feel. This is like...
You see those pins where they're sticking? Big head?
Yeah,
head.
This is a woman... Yeah, this is a woman scorned right here, I think. Yeah, you don't want to mess with someone like this. This is a great way of pointing out that sometimes it becomes, you realize it's so toxic that you just live with some serious pain. And this is kind of like the beginning of some breakups. You know, you get super mad at them. You just want them to pretty much anything bad to happen to them as much as possible. And it's just pain, pain, pain. And you want them to feel the pain that you're feeling. And it's that step, it's that process before you're actually able to hear, you're able to forgive them. And it's that forgiveness that really is where we are going to find our strength and find our healing and find everything about that. I think that you did a brilliant job bringing that out, especially in your amazing, amazing fabulous and brilliant. And I think that you did such a wonderful job with that, Deb. I'm just absolutely fabulous. Like I said, your wording is always spot on. And I think you did a wonderful job with this. Now,
thanks,
Deb.
So much, Jay. Great.
I got someone on the line right now. Actually, unfortunately, we lost track. But hey, Bella, how are you?
Hi,
Bella.
Hi, Deb. Hola, beautiful.
Hey.
How are you, Deb?
Wait a second, guys. I hear something. Something's coming in right now. So we're gonna have to hold on for a second. I think this is an important message, but I'm not sure. So I've really got to cut into the show. So let me do this.
Some breaking news. The terrible trio known as TNT are in fact Mad Dog, Ringo, and Larry. They have been on a rampage as of late. According to eyewitness reports, these three have terrorized and left destruction in their wake from one hemisphere to the other. Is there no stopping them? Here they are pictured after a fresh kill of the deadly Slipperfoot. Citizens are being told to stay indoors and lock your doors. Hide under the bed until the storm passes. Do not try to stop them. We repeat, do not try to stop them, as they could grow on you because of their cuteness. And that's how they get you. This has been a special bulletin from the warped mind of one Lawrence 67, poet and kitty owner.
Well, that was interesting.
Very cool.
I hope everybody enjoyed that little snippet there. I love Lawrence. I just love it. I had to do something with that. As soon as he dropped that to me, I was like, yeah, I've got to come up with something. And I found the old 1980s Anchorman intro there. Hey, Deb, what do you think about that one?
I thought that was really, really cool. I'm impressed at some of the stuff people are coming up with. And that, at first I was like, where is he going? And the music is it gives you, you're like, it could be a weather report. It could be a news break. It was just really, really clever, and all the little details and stuff, the metaphors, quite impressive, really. And the little noise, and I think I heard some thunder, so you just never know, but really, really talented share, start to finish. Hide under the bed until the storm passes. Do not try to stop them. We repeat, do not try to stop them. Come on, how do you stop a storm? So, I mean, it was just absolutely brilliant. I enjoyed it very, very much. Bravo. Or wait, I'll steal your word. Bravissimo.
Bella, what do you think about Lawrence?
I was so lost because I was thinking, whose voice was that? Was this his or yours? Because you guys sounded the same, you know?
It was mine. It was my voice. I went ahead and did that. Yeah, that was my voice.
That was tight, though. I liked it, that little news flash thingy vibe and then the content of it. And, you know, it suits you to become one of the a news anchor. Probably your voice will, you know, I like it. I was really, see, I'm stuttering. I'm sorry about my stutters because I was really puzzled about it. And then I told myself, what the heck is happening? I don't think that's Lawrence, or was it Lawrence, or was it really my brother? So, yeah, I love it. But I forgot to say, hola to Mocha. I love you, Mocha, and thank you for this. And then Hans, I miss you too. Debs too. And Dante is listening too.
Sorry, Bella.
Wonderful. Okay, Bella, you got something special for us. So we got one more. We got one more poem after you, and then we're done. So
I'm speaking after this because earlier, I'm so sorry. I was going to call in early, but then again, I got trapped with a lot of backlogs. So. And this poem I wrote for someone when after we broke up. So the one, I call them the one, trapped inside 1,001 crystalline hevas behind dewy eyes. And in that 1,000 broken slivers, one stood out as you, stabbed in my core as I move, as I breathe, as I die, slowly. All at the same time, you, the need and the pain shattering inside of me, the love and the ache I cannot suppress. And as I watch you fight, my soul tears for you. All I can do is dream. Dream along with the words of love lingering at the back of my throat, helplessly trapped, purposely holding back and painting. From the tip of my soul down to the shards of my bone until I contort in the corner of my time while waiting for these silent tears to meet their end. And boom, thank you.
One wonderful, wonderful poem and with deep, rich emotions. I am just, once again, you bring your incredible wording to this. And the thing that really gets me about this poem is the pain within it. And I just can't go enough over about, you know, you still have the feelings there, yet everything hurts. Everything is pain. And I'm especially that ending, for these silent tears to meet their end. Until I contort in the corner of my time while waiting for these silent tears to meet their end. Sometimes the tears don't meet their end. Sometimes they go on. And sometimes they hit us in a way that we never find that finish. And I think that that is a powerful way to look at it. Deb, what do you think? You're welcome.
Yeah, well, Bella always has the gift of powerful emotion that bleeds from her pen. And in this one, for Bella anyway, it's a bit of a brevity, but yet every bit as powerful as some of the stuff that is more long in word. And I am totally grabbed by the section. I think it's around the middle. In that thousand broken slivers, one stood out as you, stabbing my core as I move, as I breathe, as I die, slowly, all at the same time. I'm like, Jesus. You really, really have a gift at making people feel, Bella, whether you make us dig deep and gut us with the ache or the sadness or the pain, or whether you have us glowing on the inside from loving words that you use. You're just a brilliant, brilliant emotional poet. Fantastic.
Thank you very much, Beth. Thank you. Thank you very much. I don't know how to say thank you. And then if you can see my face right now, Dev, I will be like all red.
I can hear your voice,
like
Bella.
An apple.
And
thank you very
you
much. It's hard to say goodbye to
someone
you love,
right?
Suck
up that love,
right?
Because every word is true.
Thank you. I know.
All right.
But I got back to him.
We have one poem left. And Deb, I would love you to be able to read this one for us.
Oh, I would love to.
It is from Garden Delights.
All right. Let me find. There is Il Nostro Regno, and here is the poem. Okay. Load, will you? Here we go. Okay. My Hells Have Shaped Me by Garden Delights. Here we go. Which hell has shaped me as I am today? Unrelenting physical pain to be endured through employment and parenting demands. Carry this burden without complaint, finding out you're the only mature parent in your marriage. Carry the surprise in silence. Fight for decades for legal rights to your learning disabled children, carry the frustration with weakness, endure depression, anxiety from the burdens far too heavy, too long,
endure the unendurable, suffer emotional, verbal abuse from a spouse ill with dementia, while simultaneously being his caregiver, carry the brokenness and torment until his death because of vows before God, become incredibly strong and powerful.
Wow. This is such a powerful, powerful poem. I'm blown away by it. There's so much strength in it. You know, it shows all of the hurt and all of the pain and all of the trials, but ultimately it shows a person who committed to their vows when getting married. They committed to who they are. They committed to staying there for the entire time, to never let go until death makes them let go. But in the process, becoming a stronger person, becoming that person that perseveres, that person who learns that they can get past the trials and get past everything that they were brought to. This is an amazing poem. Bella, what did you think of this?
Firstly, Deb's voice. You know, I will share you a secret. Every time I used to come to the show and then I happen to bump on Deb's, sometimes I borrow her voice because the poem, it makes it powerful when being heard, when being read by someone else, and then you're listening and then you would be saying, is that my phone? And then that kind of power she bears, she carries it, hers and the Mocha and so on. And about the poem, it's hard to, if you look at the part, I think this one is like a part-by-part story. It's in a very short piece. The person was able to tuck in everything that this person wants us to understand from the beginning, the middle, and the end. So that's how I understood it. Have you ever met someone who is suffering from dementia? It's heartbreaking, painful, maddening, because you look straight to their eyes and you see nothing but blank, and then the memories, and they see you as a stranger sometimes, and that breaks you apart. But there is no anger in this poem, more on pain that punches through and through, because at the last part it says here, fight for decades for legal rights for your learning disabled children, carry the frustration with weariness, endure depression, anxiety from burdens for far too heavy too long, endure the unendurable. So the writer is questioning not only what he have or she have in mind. I don't know, I'm so sorry. Garden Delights is a woman or a male. I don't know. But also is questioning people who are reading this. What would you do? What would you carry? What would you have? And it's a heartbreaking story. I don't want to be in that way. You know, I want as much as possible, if I'm going to be with someone, I want to be there and not to vanish, knowing that the person is just right there, and I spent a lot of time. But yeah, I love the quote. I fucking love it. I had it in my phone for like how many months now, but I can't write because of my brain is shattered. Strong people rarely have an easy path. Am I correct, Debs and brother?
Yes, you are.
Right?
You are. I saw my dad fade away with dementia in the last parts of his life, and my mom passed away from Alzheimer's. So I completely understand where you're coming from on that. Deb,
I was defending this one.
Awesome. Deb, what'd you think?
Well, for one, it was a really powerful piece to read. You get pulled in and you feel it. And the questions, like fighting decades for your disabled children and burdens that are far too heavy for too long, and the fortitude it takes to deal with all this stuff and to continue to care for the person. Sometimes people get really, really mean, and though your brain can remind you that, you know, they're not in their right mind and they're not meaning to hurt you, your heart's a totally different story, and it's hard to get that ache to shut up when you're feeling so hurt. So to put that aside and to continue, damn right it makes you become incredibly strong. What other choice do you have? And then back to that quote that Bella just repeated as well, strong people rarely have an easy past. It's so true. They're not tripping the life fandango. They are, they're fighting and struggling every single day. And usually those are the nicest ones, the people that have a little bit of everything and don't want for nothing and never, you know, never got kicked in the teeth, just don't get that you can still be this strong and this good of a person going through all that. And it all shows in here. And it was totally, totally an honor to be the reader.
Amazing. And I just want to put a few more things out. We have the topic for the USA Today article for tornado relief. If anybody wants to help with any of the organizations that are trying to help those people out with the super tornado, the five-state tornado as they're calling it now, please check out that link. We're also, remember, the toy drive. We're helping out with Predatory Fins, Rodrigo, down in helping some impoverished children get toys this holiday season. That's predatoryfins.com. Check out their toy drive link, predatoryfins.com. And I also want to give a thanks to our audio, and he does some graphics for us as well, Scientific. Really appreciate that. This track that we're going to play to end it is called Valley. That's Scientific, scyntfk@gmail.com, scyntfk@gmail.com. If you're interested in any of his tracks or you want him to do some graphics for you, we appreciate everything he does, and just check that out. And without further ado, thank you everybody for calling, and we're going to play a little Scientific on the way out.
Great show.
Thank you.
All right, and you have been listening to Il Nostro Regno Radio, and this is JCA signing off.